the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, The Raven and the Dove, was written by Joseph Mendel and is presented in celebration of Law Day.
Stay under the shed, Myra. It's some protection from the rain.
Don't go out, Ben.
Only for a minute. I thought I heard it. Yes. It's a plane, Myra.
Oh, they'll see us. They'll find us even in the dark, won't they? Won't they, Ben?
Maybe they're not looking for us. Or anyone.
They are. They are.
Maybe they're only trying to find one dry spot on the whole earth. Oh, you're drenched, Myra. The rain's blowing right into the shed.
Ben, how long can it last? Such a downpour.
Don't you remember? Once, it lasted 40 days and 40 nights. If you call the story a fantasy, then you must also say, in whose mind is the phantom? Or if an allegory, then you must prove the exaggeration of reality. I will only tell you what was written long ago. Jerusalem perished because it kept the law. And then I will tell you the story as it happened from the beginning.
What's new today, Ben? I said...
Uncle Leo, I won't be long. There. Huh.
This is the end of the run. Here you are, Leo. It's all in the Daily Sentinel, hot off the press. See for yourself.
Well, why bother when I can ask B.F. Schofield, publisher and editor...
And printer.
B.F.? Hmm? It never occurred to me. That's not...
Yes. Yes, my father believed in predestination.
Benjamin Franklin Schofield.
And he was right, wasn't he?
Well, what's in the news today?
Oh, it's a day like any other. Nothing special.
Let's see.
An international agreement violated. False promises made in assorted legislatures. At least one murder in a number of cities. And the usual quota of thefts, bribes, frauds, and a sprinkling of arson. Nothing special.
I suppose you newspaper men are all cynical.
What? Oh, no. Not me. No. A cynic is a man who doesn't believe in law. You see?
No, I don't see.
Well, it's simple. He expects law to ensure justice, which he desires with all his heart.
Don't we all?
But... he looks at the world and sees the great lack of justice.
So?
So, in the name of justice, he rejects law and expects that other men will do the same. Oh, no. Now, you can't call me a cynic, Leo.
Well, I won't argue with you. Ben, I didn't stop in just to pass the time of day.
No.
Now, I want you to do something for me. Well, it's as much for Arthur Price as for me.
Now, what are you talking about?
This farm, Ben, is between my place and the river.
Yes, I know.
Now, if he would sell, I'd own all the acreage between the highway and the river.
Well, make him an offer.
Well, as a matter of fact, I did, but Arthur seems to have the idea, well, as he puts it, that I'm out to get him.
Are you, Leo?
Believe me, Ben, it will be a mutual benefit. That place is too big for him to handle. I happen to know, and it's confidential, of course, that he's had trouble with the mortgage payments.
What do you want me to do?
Well, he could buy a smaller farm and have some cash left over.
Leo...
Now, Arthur respects you. Well, the whole town does, of course. He'd listen to you. It's for his own good, Ben.
All right. All right, I'll talk to him.
Thanks, Ben. I appreciate it. If he sells, there might be something in it for you. bye-bye, Ben. Well, I should have worn a raincoat. It's beginning to cloud up.
Your coat's soaked from the rain, Arthur.
Never mind my coat, Ben. Well, have you said everything you want to say?
Look, it just doesn't make sense to neglect your own interests for the sake of pride or stubbornness.
How do you know what my interests are? Leo Wilson has you working for him like the others.
You know better than that. What do you mean, the others?
Well, I've managed up to now. Oh, sure, I've skipped a payment once in a while, but the bank never pressed me until recently. Until Leo Wilson spoke to the bank president. I've had credit at the store until recently. And I thought you were an honest man. Until recently.
I made fresh coffee, Arthur.
Oh.
Well, Ben, did Arthur go?
Yes, he... It's the fault of that other Ben Franklin.
What happened?
Search others for their virtues, he said, and yourself for your vices. I tell you, Myra, I found some virtues in Leo Wilson that aren't really there.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Maybe I'd better stick to my own vices. Do you think a trusting nature is one of them?
I know better than to answer questions like that. Ben, the creek in back of the house is filling up. I've never seen it so high. All that rain.
That and the melting snow up in the hills. Wonder how high the river is.
There's a 15-foot crest at Stoatesville, 40 miles upriver. You can ask Ben Schofield if you won't take my word for it.
Hey, he's right about that, I know.
Arthur, you asked for a special meeting of the town council, but as president, I'll run it. Well, Ben?
It came over the teletype a little while ago, Clem. 15-foot crest.
That's 10 feet below flood stage, and even at Stoatesville. And the river's lower here.
You strengthen the levee before the river reaches flood stage.
You mind if I say something, Clem?
Sure, Leo, go right ahead.
Well, just before you called the special meeting of the council...
I had to do it, you know, on account of Arthur's asking for it.
Oh, I understand. Anyway, Harry and I, we went down to the levee.
That's right, we did.
Yeah, the river's rising, all right, but nothing unusual for this time of the year, and the levee's in good shape.
It's plenty unusual. Still snow in the mountains upstate. The warm weather came early this spring and stayed. And if it keeps raining, light up...
Arthur's farm is right on the river. He's concerned naturally. We can understand that.
Sure. That's right. You'd like to see my corn and wheat flooded while your pasture stays dry because it's higher up. Wouldn't you like that, Leo?
I make allowances for your emotional condition, Arthur.
Well, you'll never get my land, you hear? Not if I die to keep it.
That'll be enough of that, Arthur. Are you asking this council to take any official action?
Oh, what's the use? Leo's passed the word around. What's he promising you, Clem? Political support if you run for the legislature? And you, Harry, what are you getting? The next 6 months' order for cattle thieves?
I'm not going to let you talk like that, Arthur. Now, seeing there's no further business before this council, The meeting is adjourned.
Wait! Look, maybe I said things I shouldn't have said, but I'm asking for help. I have enough bags. I'm asking you as your neighbor to help me fill them with earth and pile them on the levee.
Well, speaking for myself, I'm afraid I can't spare the time for my own work. I mean, since it's not really an emergency.
Yeah, I'm pretty busy myself right now.
I'm with you, Arthur.
Thanks, Ben. Sorry about the other day.
No reason to be. Well, anybody else? All right, let's go then. Before the emergency gets so real, we can't handle it.
Hoist it on my shoulders.
All right. I can't do it, Arthur. Oh,
you've had enough, Ben. You'd better go home.
No, I'll just rest a while.
Is it clear to you the rain's letting up?
No. Even if it does, with all the creeks emptying into the river between here and Stoatesville...
Well, a levee will hold a 20-foot crest.
And if it's 21...
Arthur, there are other farms behind the levee. Maybe you're exaggerating the danger.
Maybe other farmers don't care as much as I do.
There's a limit to what you can do.
Listen to me, Ben. Nobody's taking this land from me. Not Leo Wilson. Not the river. Nobody.
Take off your wet things here in the kitchen, dear. Ben...
Oh, no, I'll sit a little first. Oh, what are you doing with the suitcase, Myra?
Oh, packing a few things, just in case.
Maybe you're right.
I can always unpack it. But I've been watching the creek out back. The landing's underwater.
Oh, why, the boat will be pulled out.
Oh, sit still, dear. I've tied it to the porch railing, at the top of the railing.
Good.
Ben, I...
I heard your voices.
I tried to tell you. Leo's been waiting for you.
Why did you come here, Leo? You want me to persuade Arthur again?
As I said, there might be something in it for you.
You don't need me. You have better persuaders.
You believe Arthur's accusations. Well, what of it? In this world, you use what you can to get what you want. It's as if... Well, it's not as if I'd done anything illegal.
What do you know or care about the law?
As much as you. And don't make me out to be a criminal with a gun in Arthur's back.
Get out, Leo.
Not that I need a gun. A little flooding will keep him from putting in his crop. He'll see reason.
A big flood is needed. An overwhelming flood.
Ben, please.
All right, Myra. Still, there is a precedent in history... Sometimes only a flood can wipe away a deep stain.
I wouldn't have called another meeting so soon, only the flood control people got something to say. Now, the meeting is yours, Mr. Engineer.
Thank you. I'll be brief. The river is practically flood stage at Stoatesville. You can expect at least a 25-foot crest here.
The levee will hold. We've been working on it, some of us, for 2 days.
Well, maybe not. That's not the point.
It's the only point, mister.
If you'll let me explain.
Did you come here to help us, and let's get to work?
Now, wait a minute, Arthur. Let's hear what he has to say.
Well, thanks. Now, this is the situation. With all the tributaries feeding into the river, the crest will be considerably higher than 25 feet by the time it gets much below this town.
Are there any weak points in the levees along the way?
Well, are there? We have to make a weak point.
You realize what he's saying, Ben?
I'll let him finish.
The big cities, the heavily populated areas are downriver. If the levees don't hold down there, well, we just can't take the risk.
So you want to blow up our levee here in town?
Well, nobody likes the idea, but we have to see the total picture.
You keep saying we. It's my land you're talking about, my farm that'll be flooded.
The valley broadens out at this point, with planned evacuation and all the precautions, damage can be kept to a minimum. The crest downriver will be cut 2 or 3 feet.
Well, you heard him, all of you. You going to let him do it?
You'll be compensated for damage, of course.
For a winter's work, for a lost crop.
Whatever the law provides.
The law. Let's have a vote, Clemens. Send him on his way.
Now, wait. No use voting. I don't like to tell you this, but you have no choice. The decision is up to us in flood control, on the basis of the greatest good for the greatest number. That's the law.
You had it all planned in advance, didn't you?
Yes.
You even brought the dynamite for blowing the levee.
Yes.
Maybe you won't get the chance to use it.
You're only making trouble for yourself, Price. Put down the gun.
It's loaded with buckshot. Don't count on the dark and the rain. I can see it clear enough.
You can't keep us off the levee.
Take another step and I'll shoot, I swear.
He'll do it, mister. But if we split up and rush him from two sides...
No, somebody will be hurt.
Let me talk to him. Won't do any good, Ben, you know that.
I'm in charge here. Go ahead and talk, Schofield.
Arthur! I'm coming up to the levee.
No, Ben! I said I'll shoot.
They'll wait back there till we finish talking.
There's nothing to talk about.
Yeah, you see? What did I tell you?
Shut up, Leo!
Now, listen to me, Arthur.
I'm watching you, Ben. Don't think I won't use the gun if you make me.
Arthur, what you're doing is wrong. You have to believe in law.
The law that says I have to lose my farm?
There are 50,000 families in the cities downriver. If the pressure on the levees is not relieved...
That's their problem. There's one family here with a problem, mine.
Now, Arthur...
What am I supposed to do? Sacrifice them? Play the hero?
You're only supposed to follow the law.
If I let them blow the levee, I lose everything I have. For the love of God, don't you see that, Ben?
I see that, but...
I lose for sure. But for them down there, maybe the levees will hold. Maybe the river will drop. They have a chance. Why is the whole burden on me?
Because you're willing to take a chance on the lives of hundreds of people.
All right, Ben. I'm willing to take the chance. Now get back with the others.
Please, Arthur.
Get back, I said. The rest of you stay where you are.
We're leaving, Price. We'll be back. You have an hour to think it over and change your mind. Try not to hurt him, but the job has to be done.
An hour, you said.
That'll give us enough time. My men have been in the valley all day supervising the evacuation.
What about us in the town?
Arrangements have been made for you people in the county seat.
Yeah, that's what Leo told me.
Leo? Say, why isn't he here? Where is he, Clem?
I don't know. I thought he came back with Harry.
No, he was in your car, wasn't he?
Well, never mind that now. It's a good idea to have a place nearby if something should go wrong.
Old Cemetery Hill, overlooking the river. Not much, but it's a high spot around.
Everybody knows it?
Sure.
Good. Now, when we go back to...
But... It's Leo. He's blown the levee.
Cold here on the hill, Ben. There's a dry sweater in the suitcase.
No, never mind, Martha.
Ben, you're trembling.
It's not the cold. Have you seen him?
He's at the back wall of the shed.
Leo! Leo Wilson!
Here I am.
What do you want? Where is he? Where is your neighbor?
How should I know?
That's an answer for Cain to give. Is Arthur alive or dead?
I told how it happened. They all heard.
Tell me.
Now look, Ben, you can't... All right. I got the gun away from him. I made him get in his car and drive away. Then I blew up the levee. Now that's all.
How do you know he didn't come back?
How do you know he wouldn't have come back if the flood people had set the dynamite? Right?
Yes, you'd like to think that, wouldn't you?
to cleanse yourselves of responsibility and guilt.
Arthur Price was the guilty one. He broke the law.
Yes. Yes, in this world, even the victim is guilty. But don't you see? He didn't understand.
He sure didn't.
What is the law? Love thy neighbor as thyself. Arthur would have been willing to take the chance for himself, and so he expected his 50,000 neighbors to take the same chance.
What are you talking about?
Hillel said it another way. What is hateful to you, do not do to your neighbor. This is the whole of the law, he said. The rest is explanation. Go, learn it. Have you learned it, Clem? You, Harry? Do you know it, Leo?
I'm the one that carried out the law, remember?
With what motive?
What difference does that make?
It makes a difference. You used the law to get what you wanted.
Soon he'll be talking about justice.
Law makes justice possible, but it doesn't guarantee it. Only if the people believe in law, live by it. Each one, every single person has the responsibility for himself. Yes. Yes, you too, Leo.
Don't you worry about me.
Oh, but I do. I worry about you. About the whole world, which is like the world of Noah's time. Every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. The earth was corrupt before God and filled with violence.
Drop it, Ben. We all know about the Bible.
Do you? The watchers are on the hills again, looking for the first cloud of a strange shape and waiting for destruction. But where is our ark?
That's enough, I tell you.
This hill... Noah's ark survived the flood. But ours... Look. Look down at the river. It's still rising.
Make him stop, Myra.
Why? I'm not afraid.
But you, Leo. You're afraid.
Listen. It's a plane!
Noah sent a raven to see if the earth was dry.
They'll see us. They'll find us even in the dark.
Maybe they're not looking for us or for anyone.
They are. They must be.
Maybe they're only trying to find one dry, safe spot on the whole earth. Let it end here in the rain and the dark. Remembering only that after the raven, Noah sent a dove. Let the story end with a question. When will the dove return at eventide, bearing in her mouth an olive leaf freshly plucked?
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting the Honorable George J. Beldock, Acting Presiding Justice of the Appellate Division of the Supreme Court of the State of New York, Second Division, Judge Beldock.
By proclamation of President Eisenhower, May 1st is Law Day, USA, a day in which we reaffirm our dedication to the rule of justice under law and recall that our liberties are preserved by our laws, that all men are equal because of the law, and that our growth as a great nation is due to our government ruled by law and not by force. The importance of law in our daily lives is too often taken for granted. Today, we pause and consider the significant role of the law in our profession or business, our community affairs, and in our relations between man and his fellow man. We look to the law for protection, for equality, for defense of our rights. Our strength and power as a free people with individual dignity comes from respecting the law, observing it, seeking its safeguards and being ever obedient to its responsibilities and obligations. Law brings order into our lives. It enables us to reach out beyond a life of mere survival under fear of tyranny into a brighter world where men may freely choose, develop, and enjoy their talents in the arts, sciences, industry, and medicine, and live as free men under the protection and security which flow from the strength of the law. Law is many things to many people. It is civil and criminal justice. It is also police and fire protection, medicine, science, sanitation, and safety. These professions and endeavors are all regulated by law for our benefit and our protection. In the words of Justinian, the first great compiler of laws and codes, the precepts of the law are to live honorably, to injure no other man, to render every man his due. These precepts, written thousands of years ago, are as true today as they were then. I urge you to help preserve this priceless heritage by your own conduct, by your respect and reverence for equal justice under law.
Thank you, Judge Beldock. Eternal Light drama today, The Raven and the Dove, was written by Joseph Mendel. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Carl Weber as Ben, Arthur Cole as Leo, Bill Lipton as Arthur, Ruth York as Myra, Joseph Bell as Clem, Jim Bowles as the engineer, and Roger DeCoven as Harry. This is Vic Roby. Our program was directed by George Voutsas. Portions of this program were pre-recorded. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.